Don't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Yes, great way to refresh on a topic or a subject or a guest or something. Or if you miss a whole show or you'd like to rehear a segment, RadioMD.com. 34 after the hour, Ellie Krieger from the Food Network and the Cooking Channel and the host of Healthy Appetite. Her book is called Small Changes, Big Results. And it's a wonderful book about recipes for a healthy, balanced life, full of flavor. She's on at 34 past the hour. I found an interesting thing in the dentist chair this week. I was sitting in the dentist chair waiting for a filling to harden, to be chiseled out, and I was reading Esquire magazine, because all well-heeled metrosexuals, Dr. Mike Reed, Esquire. So I went into toward the back of the magazine. They had kind of a tongue-in-cheek, irreverent, one-page thing called Inside the Census, called Our Changing Nation, and how things have changed in this country over the past 10 years. From 2003 to 2013, and a couple of these are kind of funny. In 2003, the number of Twinkies in somebody's freezer, 6. In 2013, the number of Twinkies in somebody's freezer, 4.5 million. I thought that was pretty funny. Obviously, it's kind of an irreverent thing that Twinkies are no longer made, so people have more Twinkies in their freezer now, right? Because nobody's making Twinkies.
4.5 million?
Again, but it's a tongue-in-cheek. It's just kind of a joke. That's what I'm saying. It's kind of an irreverent look at how many, how things have changed in kind of an irreverent Saturday Night Live kind of way. And the number of chefs who get asked, and this ties in with her because she's on the Food Network, number of chefs who get asked for their autograph. 10 years ago, Wolfgang Puck, maybe. In 2013... 4,896. So I'll spring that on her when we get around at 34 past the hour. Ellie Krieger from the Food Network and Cooking Channel. But we had, and I'll ask her about this too, we had the cake boss here. I think he's on the Food Network here at the State Fair last summer. He drew 10,000 people. The cake boss. So these people, not only are they chefs, but they're the new television stars. So that's kind of interesting.
The worrisome part about the cake boss is he's probably killed more people than he's helped.
Who else has been here? Guy Fieri from Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, which is also on the Food Network, so Ellie probably knows him. And he drew a big crowd, too. But anyway, that'll be coming up in about 15 minutes. The Mediterranean diet is in the news again, and I haven't heard anybody talk poorly about that Mediterranean diet, because everything about it seems to be a good thing.
Well, this was a study in Spain where they tried to give a low-fat diet, and in contrast to that, they gave a diet that was rich in olive oil in one group or another group rich in walnuts. And they measured both the olive oil and walnuts. The consumption showed that those increased, and the people on those Mediterranean diets compared to the standard SAD, which is called Standard American Diet. It's also the Standard Spanish Diet, SSD, Standard Spanish Diet, had, despite being optimally medically managed, what I mean by that, they're on statin drugs, they've got their blood pressure under control, et cetera, the diet made a difference of 30% of heart attacks. Remember, we had one in December, a multinational study of 30,000 people, this was 7,400, but of 30,000 people that showed when they were optimally managed, adding diet changes represented a 40%. I don't think the diet they got was optimal, but you can do even better than what they got and lower the risk even more. I don't think any cardiologist could say that diet doesn't matter or not. Now, but remember, to get your cardiology boards, how much nutrition information, how much education and nutrition do you think you need, Joe?
How much nutrition information you need?
How much do you, in other words, what percent of their training? They have to put in they have to put in 25 defibrillators to get their cardiology board. They have to do something on the order of 75 stents if they want to do their cardiology boards. They have to see and take care of 50 patients with heart failure.
Mm-hmm.
How much nutrition do they have to have?
Have to have. I would think it's a low compared to the amount they would need to deal with this health issue we have. In terms of percent, right?
Yeah, or hours.
Hours, I'll say percent. Hours is kind of a difficult thing, although this would be difficult for me to answer as well. 15%.
Zero.
Wow.
Cardiologists require zero and have no questions on nutrition on their boards.
Good grief.
No, that's, and you wonder why we have a problem in America, right, or in the world. We're more interested in the number of procedures they do or the number of patients with heart failure they have than do they know anything about what appropriate diet is for their patients.
And doctors are probably more probably more prone to recommend medication, right, than...
It's much easier. I'm going to give you a pill. I don't have to teach you. I mean, that was one of the problems in this Mediterranean diet study. The control group was supposed to go to low fat. What did they do? They went from 39% to 37%, a long way from the recommended 10% for patients with cardiac risk factors or 6% of the Esselstyn diet. So they're a long ways away from ideal, and they literally, they gave them a handout. That's how they taught them, and a one-hour instruction in a group. Well, no wonder they didn't know what the heck they were doing to begin with.
Maybe every doctor's office needs a dietitian nutritionist in their office.
Well, they also need one that focuses, and we'll get into this with Ellie Krieger, who's on in a few times, small changes, big results, very rational diet, if you will, to teach people how easy it is and how good the food can be. So, but I think you need one, you know, a dietitian with that's educated for this. When you hear some of the things that some of the nutritionists, in fact, even some of those authors we've had on our show, it scared me.
And the thing about medication is a doctor prescribes medication for blood pressure, cholesterol, there's that false sense of security that, you know, I've got the medication to fall back on, so if I'm out, I can eat, you know, the chicken wings or whatever it is.
Right.
Or
anything. What this showed was that even when you're on ideal medication, even when your LDL cholesterol was ideally controlled and your blood pressure was ideally controlled from a standpoint of the number, you still had 30% lower risk of heart attacks, strokes, and deaths if you did this. And in fact, if you went on the Esselstyn or even our You on a Diet program, you would get much better. You probably would get a 70% reduction. That's how good those are. And the Esselstyn diet, he says that when they stick with the diet, it's virtually zero, meaning you decrease the heart attack, stroke, and death from heart disease risk almost to zero.
Give me a minute or two, Dr. Mike, before the break, and our guest at 34 past the hour on the value of calcium and vitamin D pills. Some questions about those.
Yeah, well, it reminds me of the study of aspirin. You know, aspirin got turned down by the FDA for the heart panel, and it got turned down by the breast cancer panel, and it got turned down by the colon cancer panel. And all of them showed a 40% reduction. It's only when you add them all together that the benefits overwhelm the risks. That's the same thing with vitamin D. And maybe with calcium, but calcium is a double-edged sword. So calcium, like the B vitamins, you know, we have all the, if you go and get one of those sports drinks, you often get extra B vitamins, and you get vitamin water, you get extra B vitamins. Well, they're probably not needed, and in fact, when you get too much B vitamins, you start to do damage to your nerves and to your brain and to your liver. Same thing with calcium, only not to those. It looks like you increase your risk of prostate cancer. The risk of prostate cancer obviously increases when you get more than 600 milligrams a day in supplements, not in food. Food is fine, so and the more the better probably. But same thing that happens with prostate cancer usually occurs with breast cancer, so we don't want people taking more than 600 milligrams of calcium. Vitamin D, get your level checked. Get it between 50 and 80 is my belief. For me, that takes 2,000 international units a day.
All right. We'll be back with our guest. She is Ellie Krieger from the Food Network and the Cooking Channel. And she's got a wellness plan for you with recipes for a healthy, balanced life full of flavor. Small changes, big results. You can do it. You can handle it. Udocs@gmail.com, Youdocs@gmail.com, email for Dr. Mike. Here on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen on Radio MD. Stay well.